about in a little bit, your lights are on. And so we want to make sure that your lights, you turn them off instead of it no longer being able to go back on. So give you a few minutes before you stand up. That'll be okay. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We've been teaching last few Wednesday nights about a blessed life. And I don't know about you, but I want to live a blessed life. Anybody like to live a blessed life? Is anybody living a blessed life? Here's the great thing about God, is if you're not living a blessed life, you can get a blessed life. You have the power to break chains. You have the power to break curses off generations that have just weighed on you from years and years and years. You have the power to bring on blessings. And so tonight, we're going to keep on that vein. Maybe a couple more Wednesday nights. We'll see what the Lord will do. But we're going to talk tonight upon the principle of firsts. Somebody say the principle of firsts. And so it's very imperative to understand that if we want to live a blessed life, then we've got to talk about the principles of God and His order. And we've been speaking about what God wants and desires for every one of us. And we have found out that He made this journey together, that God desires every one of you to be blessed. You realize that? I want you to look at that person next to you and say, God desires for you to be blessed. God really wants to bless you. Keep talking to that person. God really wants to bless your home. God really wants to bless your family. God really wants to bless your kids. Help your kids. God wants to make your kids obey you. God wants you to have the ability to tell your kids, clean the room, and they go clean their room. And then they go do the dishes without you even asking. God wants to bless you. Anybody want to live a blessed life? As I'm going to tell you, it all starts by putting God where He belongs. Number one in our lives. Number one in our families. Number one in our homes. Notice I didn't just say number one in our finances. That's the easy part. I'm saying number one in all aspects, in all areas of your life. God wants to bless you, but the only way He can bless you, Brother Greg, we talked about it. We got to put Him first. When I saw you Sunday afternoon, you said, you know, there's a scripture you were reading. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God can never be second. He's always got to be first. And when you put God first, guess what happens? Everything comes in order. When God's not first, disorder begins or chaos begins. And some of you have lived in chaos way too long. And some maybe are living in chaos now. But great news is this. You could say chaos, adios. I don't want chaos. I want order. I want blessing. I want God to be happy in me. I want God to be pleased in my family. I want God to be first. And it all starts with the principle of first. And you find it from Genesis to Revelation, from the very beginning of His word to the very end of His word. You'll find the principle of first. Exodus chapter 13, verse 1, Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me," what? "All the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the wound among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, God says, it is mine. It belongs to me. It's my property." God said it doesn't belong to you, but it belongs to me. Verse number 12 says that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be of the Lord's. And every firstling of a donkey thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. and all the firstborn of man among thy children thou shalt redeem. Can I tell you, if you don't redeem it, you will lose it. This is the principle all throughout the Word of God. If you don't redeem it, you'll lose it. Turn to the person next to you and say, if you don't redeem it, you'll lose it. So the question is this, how do you do it? You must first understand this. We read it. The donkey equals unclean. Look to your person next to you. It's going to be like a Bible study, interactive tonight. Say, listen, the donkey's unclean, but the lamb is clean. So if it's clean, it must be sacrificed. And if it's unclean, it has to be redeemed. That is why the pure, the clean Jesus, a spotless lamb, without blemish, without spot, he had to be sacrificed so the unclean, which is us, could be redeemed. I hate to burst your bubble tonight, but we were born unclean. We were born spotted. We were born with a blemish of sin. Bible says we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So he had to redeem us. And the only way he could redeem us, he had to be sacrificed. The clean for the unclean. That spotless lamb for a blemished bride. Thank God I've been redeemed. Thank God I've been washed. Thank God for his blood that washes me whiter than snow. There's an old song that says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God I've been redeemed. David said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The clean had to be sacrificed for the unclean. That's the principle throughout Scripture. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. So if your animal had its first newborn and it was clean, it was to be sacrificed. If it was deemed unclean, you were supposed to redeem it or you were supposed to buy it back. That is critical principle of God. This goes all the way back to the first chapters of Genesis. Can I tell you, tithing is in the Garden of Eden. God said you can have all the trees in this glorious garden, but there is one tree you can't have because it belongs to me. That tree is mine. Can I tell you, this was a test from the very beginning of time. You could have all these trees but one, because that one belongs to me. It's so important to God because we were born unclean. And he, Jesus, was born clean. It was the clean for the unclean. This clean Jesus was sacrificed for the unclean to redeem us, to redeem mankind. He paid the ultimate sacrifice so that the unclean could be redeemed. He is God's tithe. He is God's first fruit. He is God's tithe because you give your tithe first. Can I tell you, tithe is given in faith. If you wait to see if you have enough left over and then tithe, can I tell you something? It's not a tithe. Because you always give your tithes first. And there's so many principles of the tithe that bring the blessings of the Lord. But can I tell you, the biggest blessing of the tithe is given in faith. That's where blessings come from. The Bible says through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. God gave Jesus first. Somebody shout that. God gave Jesus first. He did not wait to see if we would repent and get right and clean up. He gave Jesus while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to get right. Bible says, Romans chapter 5, 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I tell you, you don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. There is no way that you could do anything that will somehow give you the grace that you need to activate the love of God towards you. It doesn't work that way. Do you understand that? God loved you before you loved him. That's why when you were in sin, that's why when you made some bad choices and wrong decisions and you were a knucklehead, God still loved you. And God still loves you when you make mistake after mistake after mistake. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for a God that loves me unconditionally. You may always do right, and you may always say the things that are right, but a pastor behind this pulpit tonight, I'm not always good. I know that just blows your mind like, wow. I remember years ago, I was at Red Lobster in Oklahoma, and I was waiting tables. And I was trying to get enough money for my down payment, Brother Rudy, to pay my next semester of Bible college. And in walks a group of girls, and they were good looking. And I said, whoa, they fine. That's what I said. And this elderly lady looked at me and said, you can't be talking like that. I said, really? Why? Because you're a man of God. I said, yeah. But when God made creation, he said, it is good. And they good. I'm going to tell you, every one of us are human. You don't always just drift on those clouds and speak in tongues. We're human. And we make mistakes and we make wrong choices, but there's a God that loves me in spite of my mistakes, in spite of my flaws, in spite of my blemishes. There was a God, a clean God, that sacrificed himself for an unclean mankind. He redeemed me. Whether you like it or not, he loves me. I want you to like me. I want you to love me. But listen, it's not going to hurt my feelings if you don't like me. Because he does. There's many times my wife's like, that doesn't sound good. You're singing off key. And I said, I ain't singing to you. I'm singing to him. You know what I'm saying? And I don't say that at all to make jabs at my wife, because she sings like an angel. But when I sing it, it doesn't sound good to anybody else, but I'm not singing to anybody else. I'm singing to him. And you've got to realize when we come to church, we don't come just to pat each other on the back and love. I mean, I love every one of you. Don't get me wrong. But I come here for him. And if I butcher up all the English language and I sing off key or off tune, who cares? As I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for him. He redeemed me. He saved me. He turned my life around. He's great and greatly to be praised. Somebody ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. God gave Jesus in faith, believing for a return. He was the first fruits offering. He is the firstborn. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 says, but now Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Colossians 1, 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Thank God for that. Because the first portion is always the redemptive portion. And if you give the first to God, the rest becomes blessed. It's not the 10% that enacts the blessings. It's the faith in the 10% that enacts the blessings. By giving him your first fruits. Now, I know there's a lot of people say, Pastor, I understand this. I understand the concepts. I understand the word. But I've got a mortgage. I've got a landlord. I got a car payment. I got a car that I said God gave me, but when I got that bill, I don't think God gave that to me. I've got kids in college. I've got bills that are past due. Pastor, be careful. I don't know if I can do that or not. But listen, we've got to be careful who we give our first fruits to. We've got to be careful who you put before God. Don't you dare give the mortgage company your first fruits, because the mortgage company does not have the power to bless your finances. Your car doesn't have the power to bless your finances. Your bills don't have the power to bless your... I don't think anybody has ever got a call from the city of Tulare and said, hey, I'm glad you're enjoying our water and I'm glad you're enjoying the trash. And you've been paying the last 6 months, I want to give you 6 months free. You've been living in this home, and I'm glad that you're living there and you're gracing us with your presence. Listen, you ain't got to worry about a mortgage payment anymore. You ain't got to worry about paying rent anymore. That'd be nice if we got that. But can I tell you, they'll never have the ability to bless you. They'll never have the ability to provide for you. Can I tell you? But God does. Don't trust in your job. Don't trust in your bank account. Don't trust in your 401k or your savings account. But trust in God. Put him first and let faith begin to activate the blessings from heaven. Because God seeks to bless you. He wants to open up windows of heaven and pour you out what? A blessing you can't even contain. That's what he wants to do. But he can't bless you where there is no faith. Listen to this. Any first thing not redeemed must have its neck broken. You're either going to redeem it or you're going to break its neck. Any first thing given is never lost. First fruits must be offered. Exodus chapter 23, 19. Let me hurry. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. Can I tell you, the tithe always comes to the church. You can't divide it. You can't designate the tithe, because the tithe is not yours. It's God's. That's why Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's why the very first city that the children of Israel took, the Lord said, it belongs to me. What was the first city that the children of Israel took? Jericho. And when he told them, I want you to leave all the gold, all the silver, I want you to leave it alone. That's faith. The very first city that they overtook, they had all the spoils. God didn't say, I'm going to give you another city to spoil, another city to win over. But God said, I don't want you touching what's mine. It's my first city. It's Jericho. We've got to understand that God says, give Jericho to me because it belongs to me. That's what Jericho was. It represented first fruits. And it took faith to give all the silver and gold from that city and give it to God. It took faith to give God Jericho. And in Joshua chapter 6, the city is consecrated for the house of God. But when Achan takes it, it now is called cursed. Listen, if you keep what belongs to the Lord in your house, it becomes cursed. It's consecrated when you bring it, but it's cursed when you keep it. Genesis chapter 4, 3 says this, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So the question is, why did God accept Abel's offering but had no respect to Cain's? I mean, Cain was a farmer. And in verse 3, it just states that Cain just brought of the fruit of the ground an offering. Number one, it wasn't his to give. It belonged to the Lord. It does not say that Cain brought of the first fruits of the ground. It just says that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Notice verse 4, but Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering. He was pleased because he brought the first fruits. God always must be first. He can't be second. It goes against his nature. It goes against order. It goes against creation. He's got to be first. This was 2,500 years before the law, and it's still true today because he wants to be number one in every area of your life. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing the right thing, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bless you. The tithe must be brought first. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine and oil and honey, and all the increase of the fields, and the tithe of all the things brought they in abundantly. The Bible never used the word give in relation to tithe. It always brings the word bring. Never said give, because you can't give what's not yours. But you can bring. It's kind of like my car. Eddie, how old are you? 16. Okay. I'm gonna let you use that, okay? You got your driver's license? Sure. Oh. Lord, I know he means well. Maybe he's speaking prophetically. Okay. So he's using my truck. I gave him the keys to that truck. He's going to go drive that truck everywhere he wants. But guess what? When he drives a truck back, he's not going to give me my truck because it's not his. But he's going to throw me my key. You ain't got no license. You ain't never going to see those again. This kid, and I love Eddie. I remember at junior camp, I'm telling you, Eddie's an incredible guy. And the hand of the Lord's on him. And he's going to be I've already prophesied to you. The Lord's already spoke to you. God's got a lot of great things for you. But what Eddie just did is he threw back these keys because they weren't his. He didn't give them back to me. He brought them to me. And that's the same thing with God. When the tithe that we think is ours, it's not ours. And when you say, I got to give my tithe, you don't have to give nothing because it's not yours. And if you give it grudgingly, you better just keep it. Because when you give it grudgingly, it becomes cursed. God doesn't love a grudgingly giver. He loves a cheerful giver. And you've got to realize what God has done for you. And when I bring this tithe unto him, I'm saying, Lord, this is not mine. This does not belong to me. I'm bringing it back to you. Luke 20:25 says, and he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and unto God that which belongs to God. We have two choices according to scripture about tithing according to the word of God. Number one, we can bring it to the Lord or we can steal it. We must not give away our redemptive portion because I want to be clean. I want to be blessed. I want to put God first. I want to honor him with my first fruits. Why? Because I'm so thankful for his provisions upon my life. I don't know about you, but for me, he redeemed me. He gave himself for me, the clean for the unclean, the spotless lamb for the blemished, rejected outcast. He gave himself for me, and woe be unto me if I ever think it was me that got me here. Woe be unto me if I ever think it was my talents and my abilities. It was not me. It was all him. He gave himself for me so I could be clean, so I could be redeemed. The clean for the unclean. He did that for me, and everything I have and everything I possess, he gave it to me. He sacrificed for me. Somebody ought to clap your hands. Somebody ought to lift your voice. And somebody ought to say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. You didn't have to do it, but God, I'm glad that you did. You may think you have no friend in the world, but can I tell you tonight, you've got a friend in Jesus. You may be far from home, but you're not that far that God can't pick you back up and can't redeem you again. I'm telling you, God loves you despite of what you've done, despite of where you've been, despite of what you said. There is a God that loves you, and he'll never give up on you. He'll never walk out on you. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never, can I tell you, you've disappointed him. You've walked out on him. You've given up on him. But he's never given up on you. He's never walked out on you. He's never forsook you. But he's been with you. He's as close as the mention of his name. He said, I don't care where you go. I'm always going to be with you. You may make your bed in hell. You may go to here and there. God said, I'm going to be with you every step that you take. A God that loves you. A God that's fighting for you. That's why the Bible says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And I'm not rising by my own merits and by my own talents, but I'm rising by the grace and the mercies of the Lord. For the mercies of the Lord, they endure forever and ever and ever. That's why he said, weeping may endure for a night, but hold on, baby, because joy comes in the morning. There's a God that loves you. Somebody lift your voice and just love him today. Come on, you're here today not because you chose to be here, but he chose you to be here. Wasn't your talent, wasn't your ability, wasn't your pedigree, wasn't your genealogy, but there was a God that loved you. There was a God that sacrificed for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. love you, Jesus. I love you, God. That's why he's always got to be first. He can't be second. He's got to be first in every area of your life. Got to be more than a Sunday. Got to be more than a Wednesday. Got to be more than a revival. Got to be more than a retreat. Got to be more than a conference. Every day, it's got to become a lifestyle. It's got to become a habit. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't love him more. He loves you more. And he believes in you. Thank God for that, Brother Reuben. Thank God for a God that loves me. Hallelujah. Brother Alex, you can come. Luke chapter 18. Bible says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do? Isn't that the $1 million question? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? I know Sister Lee can't really read that in red. We'll get that changed for her the other day. She said, pastor, I just can't see it in red. Let me read it for you, Sister Leek. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not. God's reading his mail. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he listened to all the words of Jesus. And he said, everything you told me, check, check, check. I've done it. I'm ready. That's what the world wants to think. I remember Brother McTosh, that there was a guy a few years ago that gave me his pedigree. He didn't lie, didn't cheat, didn't steal, didn't cuss, helped needy. So I don't think I need to be baptized. What do you think? I said, well, doesn't matter what I think. As a matter of fact, doesn't matter what you think. I said, I hate to burst your bubble, but doesn't matter what mama thought either. I said, let's just read the word of God. And we started reading the word. Just, I read scripture. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And we just read it. We just had 15, 20 minutes. I said, now what do you think? I got to be baptized. I said, good answer. We baptized him. This guy said, I've done it all. All these things I've kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, yet lackest thou one thing. I know you're good. I know you come to church. I know you pray. I know you do all this. But he said, one thing thou lackest. See, when you start talking to God, God will talk back to you. Matter of fact, many times you pray, God, I want you to speak to me. Can I tell you, many times he speaks to you first through offering. As he'll give you a number and you're like, oh my. Or you get quiet. I'm not going to take an offering, all right? But if you'll listen to that part, God will open up your eyes to the supernatural. And you won't have to pray, God, give me a word, give me a word. Just, you're in the vein. The Lord went after the heart of the matter, Brother Martin. He says, one thing thou lackest. Got a great pedigree, but sell all that you have and give to the poor. Was Jesus worried about his money? Did Jesus have to pay his car note or his mortgage? No. He wasn't worried about his money. He was worried about this guy. Because the Bible goes on to say, in the next verse, when he heard this, he was sorrowful, for he was very rich. And he went his way, because the worldly pursuits, the worldly fame, fortune, and prestige meant more to him than Jesus did. God, take my car, take my home, take my job, take it all. I remember Sister McIntosh, I think I told it before, and I'm getting old, I say things a lot over and over and over. Just have to bear with Pastor Brother Moody. Right where Brother John is, I was walking up, and I walk a lot when I pray. I was walking and I said, God, it's in 2008, height of the market, real estate. I said, God, if you don't want me to have my business, take it away. It wasn't long, man. Woo! Market crashed. Had to close down two offices, one in Woodlake, one in Tulare. Had a few homes, few cars. And Brother Victor, in a moment's time, it's gone. And I always tried to do my best and live on 60% and put away 30%. Give God my 10. And I remember that in those tough months, I had a savings account built up, but somehow the months just kept going on and there was no ingo and just outgo. And I just tried to tread water, depleted all the funds, couldn't sleep for 3 solid months. In the back of my mind, there was an enemy that says, you're a failure. Look, you built up a business to watch it crumble. Then I remembered my prayer, God, take it. And when I remembered the prayer, I said, God, it don't matter anymore. Because I'm gonna tell you, your worth and your value does not come in your clothes, doesn't come in your last name, doesn't come in a title. It comes in Him. And if it goes at Him, where the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, your value and worth will never change. But it all is a test of faith. And if you'll put your faith in God and you'll put Him first, He'll bless every area of your life. It's the principles of first. It's living a blessed life. That's why He said in Malachi, the only place in the Word of God where it said, prove me. It's in the area of giving. He said, prove me that I won't open up the windows of heaven and bless you. But not only bless you, I'm going to kick out that devourer. He ain't going to step foot in your home no more. He ain't going to mess up your marriage anymore. He ain't going to go mess up your kids anymore. If you put me first, the principles of first, I'm going to redeem everything in your home, everything in your family. I'm preaching to somebody on a Wednesday night. We've got to put God first. Don't trust in your home. Don't trust in your job. Don't trust in your 401k, but trust in God. Oh, would you stand to your feet? Would you raise your hands towards heaven? Would you lift up your voice? And would you say, God, I give it to you. Everything I have, everything I possess, I give it to you.
And your mercy.
I give you my family. I give you my marriage. I give you my finances. I give you my job. I give it to you.
You are good, and your mercy.
Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Forever.
I feel the Holy Ghost here.
You are good.
Come on. He wants to bless you.
You are good.
He desires to bless you.
You are good. mercy.
You may have thought you stumbling here, but God had a bigger plan. God said, I come to redeem you.
You are good.
I come to give you what your heart's been longing for.
You are good, and your mercy is forever.
Come on, raise your voice.
Oh, your kindness is
hallelujah.
Forever.
Your hallelujah.
Kindness is forever.
Oh, I love you, Jesus.
Your mercy is
I love you, God.
Lord, forever.
Forever.
Your goodness is forever.
Hallelujah.
Your mercy is.
Come on, we got a few minutes. Why don't you step out of your pew? Let's line this front.
Your kindness is.
Come on, make a commitment, God.
Your goodness is.
I'm going to put you first.
Your mercy.
Every area of my life.
Forever.
Every aspect.
Forever.
I give my marriage to you. I give my relationships to you. I give you my dreams. I give you my goals. I don't have much, God, but what I have, I give it. I give it. I give it to you.
Your goodness is forever.
Come on.
Your mercy is.
Let him bless you.
Forever.
Let him give you strength. Oh, I love you, Jesus.
You are good.
You don't have to understand it. You don't have to comprehend it. It's not your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Forever.
You are good. Hallelujah. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that desires you. There's a God that longs to be close to you. Oh, I love you today, God. I love you today. Hallelujah.
Your goodness draws
hallelujah.
Me to your
hallelujah.
Side. Your mercy calls me to be like you.
I love you today.
Your favor is my delight.
I love you, I love you, I love
you. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good. Oh, you are good.
Oh, yes, y'all.
You are good. And your mercy is forever.
I love you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brother Reuben, I looked over at you. And you are right now training up that child in the way he should go. He can't choose right now, but you and Mom are making that choice. And the choices we make don't just affect us, but they affect everyone around us. The best thing you can do is not cry over the cards that are in your hand right now. Thank God you got cards in your hand. And thank God for a God that can put things back together. You can't do it, but God can. You can't reconcile it, but God can. You can't redeem it, but God can. You can change it. And I pray right now, I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice, your children that have been bought by the precious blood of you, Jesus Christ. I pray blessings over their homes. I pray blessings over their family, over their children, over generations to come. God, let the blessings flow.
Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah. 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 Live in this atmosphere. Dwell in this atmosphere. Amen. Stay here as long as you like. Amen. Find two or three people. Love on somebody. God bless you in Jesus' name. Remember, Saturday, 10 o'clock, work day. Friday night, youth service. Amen. God bless you.